In the United States, suicide, not combat, is the leading cause of death among soldiers. Recent news reports suggest that our Canadian soldiers may be heading in that same direction. Part of the post-traumatic stress experienced by soldiers involves the inability to forgive themselves for their acts of war. When we commit a transgression, we may be left with feelings of guilt and regret. But it's not just the person who commits an offense that needs self-forgiveness. When harm is done to us by another, we often find a way to blame ourselves. Whether offender or victim, we imprison ourselves in our own Alcatraz, an inescapable prison of shame, self-loathing, and should've, would've, could've's. People who struggle to forgive themselves have been found to be more likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, and substance abuse. They tend to get sick more often and for longer periods of time, and are more likely to engage in aggressive and sometimes even violent behaviors towards themselves and towards others. This, of course, has a negative impact on the person experiencing it, but also on the people with whom they have relationships and on society at large. More missed days of work, more job loss, a greater demand on our Medicare system. The ability to forgive oneself has been shown to help decrease these negative effects. But despite the positive impact it can have, there exists very little research on self-forgiveness. Can you believe researchers have yet to even properly define it? For my dissertation, I went into the community and I asked, what is self-forgiveness? Is it merely letting go of those negative emotions you hold towards yourself? Do you have to make amends to the person harmed? Are there certain steps you need to move through to get there? Must these steps occur in a specific order? In our society, when we feel stuck in unforgiveness, we often turn to counselors for guidance. But do counselors have the same understanding of self-forgiveness and the steps involved as their clients? My research suggests that they don't. By examining both community and counselor participants, I'm able to highlight the differences in their perspectives, allowing for more successful counseling. Establishing a proper definition and a model of the steps involved in self-forgiveness will help create the foundation that researchers need to gain a deeper understanding of this topic, to create workshops and interventions to help people heal. Armed with knowledge about self-forgiveness, we are no longer prisoners in our own Alcatraz. We are the warden, with a newfound ability to open that cell door to freedom. Thank you.